Hi guys, welcome back to the Balanced Empowered Fitness Podcast. Hannah Polly here. Hope you guys are all having a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. Let's dig in, okay? Something that has been my hyper focus lately and something that's so important and I've been studying and I want to share some things are I want to give you guys five simple tips on how to optimize your gut health. Okay? So I feel like gut health, it's just a thing right now, right? You probably see it on your feed. You see people talking about it because, like, at the end of the day, when you think of your gut microbiome, it is like the powerhouse, right? So it's like if your gut is off, other issues are going to arise, right? It's going to impact your weight loss. It's going to impact your overall health. It's going to impact your mental health, your stress, your anxiety, because the gut and the brain are correlated, right? So I want to go over, like I said, just five. Like the gut, the gut microbiome, it's very complex, right? But I want to give you guys five simple tips on how to optimize your gut health, like that you can literally start today or tomorrow. Now, obviously, if someone has gut issues, you know, it's going to be a little bit more complex than that, and we'll go over that. So first, let's go over signs that you have some gut issues. Okay, so if you have persistent bloating. Okay, if you wake up in the morning and you're bloated before eating or drinking anything, there's typically a deeper rooted issue going, especially if it's like consistently. Like if it just, you know how it feels when you're bloated. If you feel like that in the morning, empty stomach, like I said, typically that means there is like an underlying gut issue arising or that is there. If you have irregular bowel movements, okay, so if you're not familiar with the Bristol stool chart, and you suspect, like again, if you just have trouble with your digestion, you feel like you're gassy, bloated all the time, look up the Bristol stool chart. I know I've talked about it before on a previous podcast, but if you're anything outside of the regular photo of what your stool should look like consistently, then you know there's definitely an underlying gut issue going on. If you're like excessively gassy, if like you're literally clearing out rooms, like there's something going on there, or like if you're severely constipated. Now, I will say that with these tips I'm going to give you, these can typically help these issues that if you're experiencing them. Okay. Now, if you dial in on all these tips for a prolonged period of time and you're still having some of these gut issues, like I said, typically that means there's an underlying gut issue going on that, you know, it's going to need some testing and probably like a specific type of protocol to fix it. So, like a lot of times, diet and lifestyle can fix these issues that you might be experiencing. So, like I said, if you're really gassy, if you have a lot of bloating, if you have like, you know, just diarrhea or like irregular stools constantly, or you're severely constipated, I highly recommend listening to this. I would honestly take some notes, you know, just to kind of write down some things to try to start implementing. And of course, as always, you know, my socials are always listed below if you ever have questions. Okay, so let's start with tip number one, fiber. Fiber is so important. I cannot stress enough. My clients are like, I know that they get annoyed with me whenever I'm pushing the fiber on them, making sure they're getting in enough fiber daily because it's extremely important. You know, you may hear about fiber. You know, yes, it helps us with digestion, right? It helps us become less constipated. It helps us have regular bowel movements, right? So essentially it does. It bulks up the stool, it makes for easier bowel movements. But fiber is also, you want to think of fiber as it feeds your good bacteria in your gut. And the good bacteria is what we want that, right? The good bacteria, it fights off opportunistic pathogens, you know, essentially like the bad bacteria, right? It helps give us a balanced microbiome. So fiber feeds these microorganisms in our gut, right? The good ones. So most people are not eating enough fiber. I read a study the other day and it was like only like 3% of Americans are eating enough fiber daily. And I just thought that was so wild when I read that because fiber is one of the most important foods and like things that we need to focus on. So if you are tracking your calories or macros, which honestly, I recommend doing it for like, you know, a period of time. If you're working with a coach, they're probably having you do it. But if you're doing things on your own, I really recommend if you're trying to make healthier decisions, trying to lose weight, trying to make, you know, improve your digestion, I think tracking on like MyFitnessPal is a really good idea because then you get an idea of what you're consuming. And that's a really good way to assume you're getting enough fiber in. Not something you have to do forever, but it's just like a learning tool. So you can use free version MyFitnessPal, log what you're eating. For fiber, for most women, 25 to 30 grams daily is what you want to hit. Okay. And honestly, I've read studies where even more could be more beneficial for some. But I know sometimes with fiber, it can, if you eat too much and your body's not used to it, it can definitely make you feel gassy and bloated. So if you hardly eat any more fiber and like you start ramping up the fiber temporarily, you might feel a little bit more bloated and gassy just temporarily, but that will not last. It's just your body like adjusting and adapting to the higher fiber intake. So 25 to 30 grams daily. This is going to help if you are constipated. It's going to help you get more regular. Like I said, if you don't have an underlying gut issue, if someone's severely constipated, either there's like a thyroid issue going on or there is like an underlying gut issue like SIBO or various other possibilities there. So 25, 30 grams of fiber daily. Now, some fiber, high fiber food. You can even Google like high fiber foods. You'll find a list. But, whole grains. So instead of white breads or white English muffins, making sure you're doing whole grain. It's going to have higher fiber intake. Quinoa, oatmeal, sweet potatoes, whole plant foods such as like beans, lentils, chickpeas, things like that. Fruits. So all your fruits. All your veggies. Veggies are mostly made up of water, but you're still going to get some fiber through like green veggies. So those are just some high fiber foods. Like I said, if you just Google high fiber foods, you'll see a whole list. So implementing those into your intake to get more fiber. Also, along with this tip is drink more water. Water is so important. I would love for everyone to get up to a gallon of water a day. Now, obviously, most people are not drinking that, but if you can start, I always talk about trying to drink more water, but if you can start drinking, if you hardly drink any water at all, set a goal of like 70 ounces daily. Get a water bottle on Amazon or from the store that is 70 ounces and fill it up in the morning and just try to finish it by the end of the day. And then as you get used to that, keep climbing up and go to 80 to 90 ounces, then 100 ounces, and 110 ounces, and then 120 ounces, 128 ounces is a gallon. So that's typically what I do with my clients. If someone comes to me and they're barely drinking water, I slowly increase their water intake over time because obviously it's usually not realistic just influx a bunch of water at once that you're gonna feel like you're like literally drowning in it. So high fiber water, gonna be so key. Like, if people aren't getting enough fiber, drinking enough water, most likely they're constipated. They're not getting to the bathroom every single day. We want a bowel movement every single day. Okay, sleep. Number two, your sleep. Sleep is one of the most underrated aspects of improving your gut. So if you are running on low sleep always, typically if you're on low sleep, you're probably high stress as well. So high cortisol directly impacts our gut microbiome. Okay, so if you're not sleeping, your cortisol levels are going to be raised. You're probably, like I said, you're probably stressed, which again, elevated cortisol levels, that's going to directly impact your gut microbiome in a negative way. So if you can shoot to try to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Now, I know that's not always possible. I know you guys have, some of you have kids, some of you might work third shift. I totally get it. It's not, something that is super realistic for everyone. But if you can try your best to optimize your sleep, and if you can try to get that 7 to 8 hours, amazing. But some tips here are setting a bedtime. So I think it's really important because I know how it is. It's really easy to lose track of, when you get home from work, the last thing you want to do is just get ready for bed, right? Like you want to like relax and spend time with your family or significant other, whoever it may be. So trying your best to limit screens before bed, along with setting a bedtime. Sorry, I meant to talk about the bedtime. So with the bedtime, you want to have like a routine where you lay down a specific time where you're like, okay, I typically wake up at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. You want to lay down, be in bed, laying down, not on your phone at that time where you're like, if I fall asleep now, I'll get like 8 to 9 hours, right? Because typically you're not going to sleep all throughout the night. So if you can set a set bedtime where you're allowing yourself to be in bed for that long, you're typically going to optimize your sleep. So kind of going back to our roots here, right? Setting a bedtime. And like I was just talking about, limiting screens before bed. So trying to limit screens at least an hour before bed, the more the better. If you absolutely have to do screens before bed, doing some type of like blue light blocking glasses, I don't think that that will completely like alleviate things. But just like I said, trying to swap your phone time or your TV time for like a book, right? Or like journaling, or if you like to draw or something like that, doing that before bed. You could also do supplement magnesium glycinate before bed. Can definitely help you get into a deeper, better sleep. And also too, having some type of nighttime routine. So, I mean, it can be as simple as drinking some sleepy time tea before bed, winding down a half hour before bed, limiting screens, no screens, drinking your sleepy time tea, reading, just sitting in bed, taking a bath, like whatever that looks like for you, having like a nighttime routine to kind of help you wind down from the day. And really optimize your sleep. Also, if you can help it, trying to keep your like if you have central air, trying to sleep within like 65 to 68 degrees. If you're cold, you can obviously like bump it up more towards a 68, but typically sleeping in that colder temperature is usually going to help with sleep. Okay, so just gave you a bunch of tips, but yes, sleep is so important with healing our gut and optimizing our gut health. Number three kind of goes in hand with number two, but managing stress. Okay, I know, obviously we can't, like I can't, whenever my clients are overly stressed, there's some things I can't do for them, right? I can't force them to leave a stressful relationship. I can't force them to quit a stressful job, right? All I can do is help them manage what they can and help them manage their stress outside of these things. Ultimately it's up to them to leave a relationship or, change careers or whatever it may be that's causing this chronic stress. Because obviously some stress, it's inevitable. We're going to be stressed, right? That's just how it is. But when someone's chronically stressed, that's when it really, really can impact the gut microbiome. So some ways to manage your stress outside of like work and things like that are meditation or breathing practices. So, I mean, gosh, there's so many. You can look it up on Google, like breathing apps and doing like one a night. Restorative yoga is amazing because not only is it like restorative, it focuses on deep breathing, which is really helpful with stress management. But also like it improves your flexibility and mobility, which can help you in your workouts and stuff as well. So if you just YouTube restorative yoga, comes right up, 20 to 30 minutes, making that like, gosh, if you can get that in a few times a week. Anyone who I'm working on their gut health with, I always have them do restorative yoga. Taking walks. So being mindful in your walks, if you live close to a nature center, if you, just walking and like you listening to a podcast that you enjoy or listening to like soothing music that you enjoy and just making it something that like is like relaxing for you. If you can do it outside, weather permitting, amazing. Typically it's going to be a great stress reliever. Plus you're getting some movement in. Also like adult coloring books for people who, maybe like to be a little bit more stimulated when they're de-stressing. So, they're just more complex coloring books than you typically see in like a typical kids one. You just Google that, you can find them on Amazon, whatever it may be. So those are a few tips of managing your stress outside of things that you can't control and focusing on what you can control. Game changer here. Okay. So number four, going back to the nutritional side of things, limiting processed foods. Now, I know this is so much easier said than done because processed foods are everywhere, right? Even the way that they are set up in the grocery store, they're meant to catch your attention. They're meant to catch your kids' attention to beg you to buy it. It's honestly really, I could go on a whole tangent about the food industry and how they kind of how shady it is. But if you can limit the amount of processed food, so packaged food, things like crackers, granola bars, stuff that's processed, right? Not stuff that's natural. When I say eat more whole foods, I'm saying things from the earth, right? Lean meats that like are you that you buy them raw and you have to cook them, not like frozen. You can do some frozen. Like there's some fish that I do frozen, and like the only ingredients are just the fish. There's not a bunch of like preservatives or things that you're like, what the heck is that? If you do any type of frozen fish, just make sure in the ingredients it only says what fish it is and maybe salt. Anything else, ignore it. Try to get fresh. But like I said, lean meat, so like seafood, ground turkey, lean ground beef, chicken breast. If you can get like the Amish chicken, it's always better. Again, ingredients are key here. The only ingredient you ever want is just whatever the actual meat is, and maybe salt if they're and frozen things. Things like fruits and vegetables, again, grown from the earth, right? If you can get organic, amazing. Things like that are grown, like I said, rice, potatoes, quinoa, oats, like plain oats, things like that. Perfect. So that's what I mean when I say more whole foods. And I know I've talked about this on previous episodes. So more whole foods. Now, like I said, I know it's not realistic to just completely cut out all processed foods. Gosh, I've been doing this for a decade and I'm at a point where I pretty much cut out all processed foods except my protein shake that I drink. That's about it. Everything else is whole food and my meals are so yummy. And it just takes time to get there. You know, I know it's not realistic. Like, trust me, it's taken me a lot of time to get to this place. Not saying it's going to take everyone a decade. But you know, it's just, especially when you start like really focusing on your gut and you see how important these things are and how much better you feel, it makes it so much easier. And like my meals taste so good. And then tip number five is limiting artificial sweeteners. Now, this can be hard because like it's like, you know, people are always confused on, well, do I do the sugary option or do I do the sugar-free option? So like obviously when it comes to weight loss, you know, if a client comes to me and they're looking at options, I'm gonna say, you know, I'd rather you consume something that's sugar-free versus eating a surplus of sugar because, like, I mean, both have their connotations, right? But if someone's focused on weight loss, it's gonna be less calories. Sorry, in the sugar-free option, and less sugar. But there's also downfall to artificial sweeteners, right? This is where eating more whole foods is just more beneficial because then you're not having to force to choose. Like you just are eating whole foods. Like there's nothing processed. There's no artificial sweeteners or like sugar, like refined sugars, right? But you know, try not to overdo it on the artificial sweeteners. Again, just drinking more water, trying to like, you know, limit the amount of like sugar-free drinks that you're drinking. Now, I will say if you can find things that are sweetened with stevia or monk fruit, which are natural artificial or natural sweeteners that don't have any calories derived from plants, that's going to be so much better versus doing things like, you know, diet sodas. You know, not that those are the devil. You know, I know there's like hearsay, but it's not the best for your gut. Artificial sweeteners can actually like are one of the worst things to consume. If you ever noticed, have you ever eaten a lot of sugar-free things, or if you've chewed a lot of pieces of gum, typically you're feeling really gassy, right? You're probably feeling really bloated. Yeah, it's because of all the sugar alcohols and all the artificial sweeteners, the sucralose. It causes digestive upset in most people. And because again, it's not the best for your gut. So when you're trying to optimize your gut, when I'm helping a client trying to optimize their gut, I really try to help them limit these artificial sweeteners. But if they can choose things that have like stevia or monk fruit, or they want to sweeten their oats with, you know, some stevia and like some raspberries versus using like sugar-free syrup, right? So doing less chemicals, more whole foods. Also, if you want like a diet soda alternative, doing like Zevia is great. So Zevia is like a pop sweetened with stevia, and there's not even caramel color, nothing. It's actually clear, but it tastes so good. You can find it in most grocery stores. So that's always a great alternative I like to give people, you know, when they're trying to stop drinking pop or they're trying to like limit their diet pops they're drinking. Zevia is great for that. So those are my five tips. Like I said, these are very easy that you can start implementing. I know it's a lot of info, so I hope that you are taking notes if this is something that you're intrigued in and you really want to help. Typically, if someone can really get to a point where they're optimizing, they're getting that 25 to 30 grams of fiber in daily, they're drinking more water, they're getting better at managing their stress, they're eating more fruits and vegetables and whole foods, typically digestion is going to improve, usually. Now, let's say someone really masters all these things. Right? They're doing everything they're supposed to, and they're still having this excessive bloating. They're still not having regular bowel movements. They're still gassy. Maybe they're still constipated. That's an indication that there's an underlying issue going on, 100%. Which typically, you know, that would be a whole other thing where we need to do like a, you know, if someone wanted to fix it, you need to do a GI map, right? And we need to get an idea of like, you know, what your gut microbiome looks like. And like the beautiful thing is there's always a solution. But, you know, just don't ignore when your digestion's off for a prolonged period of time. Like it's definitely something to look into. Like I said, most of the time, diet and lifestyle changes will fix it. But you know, if there's something deeper going on, you know, typically that will take an excess of like a protocol or something like that. And then just going over really quickly with probiotics and prebiotics. So I don't always recommend everyone to just start taking a probiotic, because in certain situations, probiotics can make things worse for people if someone has really high commensals. So if someone has really high, like if they get a GI map done, which is essentially like a stool test that gives you a rundown of your gut microbiome, and they have really high commensals, so really high unbalanced good bacteria, that can still cause digestive upset. So it's like if someone has really high commensals and they don't know it, and then they're just consuming more probiotics, which again, probiotics are, so essentially with probiotics, they are the microorganisms in your gut, right? So when you're consuming those, you're consuming more of those microorganisms. The prebiotics are what feed and help those probiotics survive. So it's like if you already have high good bacteria, too high, and you're consuming more probiotics, you're going to make those issues worse. Now, I'm not saying that's for everyone, but I just say, again, if someone has, I just never recommend probiotics like right away to someone who has gut issues. Like we want to fix the underlying issue. You know, we want to resolve the nutritional aspect and the lifestyle aspect and go from there. But eventually, I think probiotics are great for most people. It's not something you just want to like, it's like you don't want to use it as like a band-aid, right? Like, oh, I have stomach issues, I'm going to take a probiotic. It's like, no, we need to fix the underlying issue of the fiber, sleep, what's your stress look like, how much water are you drinking? You know, let's look at your debt, your food intake. Are you eating a ton of processed foods? Are you eating a lot of artificial sweeteners? Like, there's just so many things to look at. So when you think of probiotics, there's obviously supplements you can take, right? But there's also like, you know, you've probably heard of like the fermented foods that contain like cultures. So like yogurt, right? So if you're doing like a yogurt, you want to do one that has the live, you want to do like honestly, the best is going to be like a plain Greek yogurt. You know, and you're not have artificial sweeteners, it contains live cultures. Now, not all the live cultures make it through the processing of these foods. So you probably heard like sauerkraut and pickles and sourdough bread and you know, all these things, how they're, you know, probiotic foods. But it's like from studies that I've read, it's like most of those probiotics, like there's not really any scientific proven evidence that those actually make it through to the distal gut. Most don't survive the transit through the stomach and might not reach the distal gut. So it's like, yeah, they have these foods contain probiotics on, you know, and on the store shelves, but as soon as they're consumed to digest, not all of them make it through. So some of those, there's really not any proven like probiotic microorganisms. But typically with yogurt, the legit live cultures are making it through. So yogurt's great. I do the Oikos Pro Plain. I'll put some blueberries in it. It's not the best tasting. But I mean, honestly, it's something you can get used to. You can do like the flavored ones. It's just like they're gonna, you know, you're gonna consume your artificial sweeteners, but I'd rather you eat that, you know, than not consume it at all. You could always mix like some protein powder in with it too. But again, typically with most protein powders, you're going to have some artificial sweeteners there too. You know, it's the thing with nutrition is like it's never going to be perfect, right? We have to pick and choose our battles. And then as far as like the probiotics, so, or I'm sorry, the prebiotics. So again, these are the foods that feed the probiotics. These are foods that feed the probiotics a good bacteria, right? So again, hopefully you have your notes here, but asparagus, garlic, onion, wheat, honey, barley, bananas, rye, cow's milk, peas, beans, tomatoes. You know, and then again, like we have to be careful with these because someone that has SIBO, if they're consuming garlic or onion, that could actually make symptoms worse. So some people will have SIBO, which is just like it's a gut issue that, you know, needs a protocol to be fixed. It's just an overgrowth of bacteria in the small intestine. But that could make symptoms worse. So I know this is really complex. And for most people, these prebiotics are going to be fine, right? I just want to give you guys a list of those, you know, things to consume. But you know, like I said, at the end of the day, if you just implement most of these tips, you're going to be fine. You're going to, you know, these issues that you're experiencing, if you are experiencing any gut issues, are going to be resolved through the higher fiber, you know, the water, the stress management, the sleep, limiting processed foods, eating more fruits and veggies, things like that. But for those of you who maybe have an underlying gut issue, these things won't help that much. They'll help a little bit, but like I said, we'd have to take a deeper dive into that, which is like, again, it's totally okay to do. Like I have my own gut issues that I'm working on right now. And you know, it's just the way that our food is and just how everyone is stressed. It's really easy for gut issues to, you know, in my opinion, I think most people do have some type of gut issue going on. So anyway, guys, I know this is a lot of info. I really hope this was helpful. Again, if you didn't take notes and like this is something that, you know, you're like, okay, I do experience these symptoms sometimes, I would recommend listening to it again. Take some notes. Like I said, my inbox is always open. My socials are always linked below. You know, that's something if we need to take a deeper dive, it's something I can always help you with. You know, I help my clients with a lot of these things, but as I'm digging into the functional realm of nutrition, being able to fix people's guts, this is something I'm overly motivated to do, is help people fix their guts, because I know how life-changing it can be. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week's episode. I know it was a lot. I know I'm nerding out on you with the gut, but I think these tips can go such a long way. But as always, if you guys found this was helpful, please, if you're on Spotify, leave me a 5-star rating. If you're on Apple, please leave me a 5-star review and a 5-star rating and a review. I really, my heart gets so happy, and it really, every single review and rating truly does help me. And I always love feedback. And if you feel like, you know, someone could benefit from this, feel free to share this with them. And I just really appreciate you guys' support. And I hope you guys all have an awesome week, and I'll see you guys next episode.